Good morning, friends. It's always a good thing to be able to be with you here at Mosaic and to share with you. And it's a particular privilege today for me because I'm able to try give words to my own life message, what I think has characterized my own preaching, teaching, ministry over the years. I hope also, though, that as I share, it will help you to be in touch with what is most important for you. What is your life message? What is deepest in your own heart that you love to share with other people? And I'm going to build all that I'm going to say around a very well-known story in the Bible. I hope it never, ever becomes too familiar to you. I hope it never becomes too familiar to you. And I want to read it to you. It's from Luke chapter 15. And then take just a few moments to unpack it with you today. Luke chapter 15, it comes up on the screen and I'll read it to you. And so Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." And so he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, and he set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out, go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer fit to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" And so he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast. Let's celebrate. For this my son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And so they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music, he heard dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry, refused to go in. And so his father went out and pleaded him, but he answered his father, "Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours who has squandered all your property with prostitutes come home, you kill the fatted calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." And so we thank God so much today for that familiar story. And we pray that somehow it will become a fresh word from God for each one of us today. I want to begin by asking you a very simple question. It's a simple question, but it shapes our whole lives. I want to ask you, what is your picture of God? What is your God, the God that you worship, really, really like? How would you describe the nature and the character of the God that you build your life on? I don't think there's a more important question that I could ask you. And for the past 35 odd years or so, that is the central question that I have been exploring in my own life and that I have explored with people that I've been with. What is your picture of God? It's an important question because if our picture of God, if our understanding of God is vague and fuzzy and impersonal, then our relationship with God will be vague and impersonal and fuzzy. The other day I was speaking to someone and they were telling me how they pray to the universe. They pray to the universe. Now, all I want to say is if you pray to the universe, your experience of prayer is going to be very, very impersonal. Very impersonal. Our picture of God is important because many of us have a default picture of God. Of someone who is against us. So many people I meet feel deep down, it's their default position on God, that God is against them. So when something goes wrong, when life crashes, when maybe you hear news of maybe you're ill, maybe when a tragedy happens, our default position immediately is God has it in for me. God is against me. God is not for me. I love the story of the little boy who just wouldn't eat his prunes. He had 5 prunes. I don't blame him. He had 5 prunes on his plate. And his mom said, you better eat these prunes. And he just refused point blank to eat them. So his mom says, God's going to punish you for these prunes. And she sent the little boy off to his room. He closed the door. He was locked inside. And at that moment, there was one hang of a thunderstorm outside. Lightning and rain and thunder. And the little boy goes to the window, looks out and says, God, such a fuss over 5 prunes. Now, some of us, does this make sense? Some of us have a picture of God who makes a fuss over 5 prunes. One step out of line and you've had it. You've had it. But our picture of God is important even for another reason. We become like the God we worship. If we worship a God who likes some people but doesn't like other people, I guarantee you we will like some people and not like other people. If we worship a God who includes a certain group of people and excludes another group of people, I guarantee you, we will include certain people and exclude other people. If we worship a God who is aggressive and violent, I guarantee you, we become aggressive and violent. If we worship a God who is passive and anything goes, I guarantee you, we become passive and anything goes. Our picture of God rubs off on us. It rubs off on us. We become like the God we worship. What is your picture of God? Who is the God that you worship? What is your God really, really, really like? All I want to do, and I'm going to do this so simply today, I want to explore with you the picture that Jesus had of God. If we really want to come to know God as God really, really is, we need to look at God through the eyes of His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus reveals God as God really is. Really is. And once He told a story. And you know the story so well, and that's dangerous. But I hope I can somehow freshen it up for you today. And He told the story, and we must get the background right. He told the story because people were getting uptight with Jesus about the company He was keeping. Jesus kept bad company. And people got so uptight with Him. He was always hanging out with the wrong kinds of people. And one day, in order to explain why He hung out with the people that He hung out with, Jesus told a story about a father who had two boys. And one day the younger son comes to the father and says to the father, I want my inheritance now. It's almost like he was saying to the father, I wish you were dead. I want my inheritance now. And I want you to notice what happens. This is a very important detail. The father gives him his inheritance. And the boy goes off and squanders it. I want you to notice the absolute freedom in this relationship between the father and the young boy. There is no attempt to control or to manipulate his young son at all. The young boy is free to ask and is free to leave. True relationships are always free. They are never, never controlled. The boy goes. Squanders it all. In the process, he breaks every religious code of his people and he ends up with pigs. Now, this is a Jewish boy. What is a Jewish boy doing with pigs? Not supposed to be near a pig, touch a pig, eat anything of a pig. You can't sink lower if you're a Jewish boy than work with pigs. In East Rand English, this boy hits rock bottom. You cannot sink lower. He decides to go home and he prepares a speech. Did you notice that speech? Did you notice what he said in his speech? It's his repentance speech. Father, I have sinned against God and against heaven. I'm no longer fit to be called your son. I'm no longer fit to be your child. Just treat me as one of your servants. And he puts, I'm sure, the speech in his top pocket. And he heads for home. Now, meanwhile, quickly, back home, father has been watching and waiting for how long? Days, weeks, months, years. One day, sees a little speck in the distance. And then we come across, for me, one of the most explosive sentences you can ever find in the Bible. And it's a sentence that describes the father totally. Totally. It describes his eyesight. It describes his heart. It describes his lungs. It describes his feet. It describes his arms. It describes his lips. And I want this sentence to scorch its way into your heart and mine forever and forever. And I want you to look at it with me as it comes up on the screen. As the father sees the boy, here it comes up onto the screen and you will see it now. As the boy gets up and goes to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Isn't that a beautiful? Love is never blind. Love is never blind. The father recognizes him, sees him, notices him immediately. And then his heart is filled with compassion. There is room for nothing else in his heart. His heart is filled with compassion. There's no room for retribution, for retaliation, for revenge. No room at all. And then notice his legs. He runs. Now, Jewish men were not supposed to run. The older you got in Jewish culture, you weren't supposed to run because then your legs begin to show. You hold your robes. But here is this father running down the road, holding his robe. His underrods are showing most probably. What a sight of indignity. What a sight of passionate love running down the road. And then throws his arms around him, doesn't push him back, doesn't say to him, "You're smelling of pigs, go have a bath," not at all. Throws his arms around him. Can you feel the embrace, the inclusion? And then with his lips, with his mouth, does not scold, does not condemn, does not criticize. He kisses the boy. Incredible. The father. And the story is not over yet. Then he says, "Bring the robe." Now the boy is still smelling of pigs. He hasn't had a bath yet. "Bring my best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put a ring on his finger." A ring, what does that speak to you of? Commitment and faithfulness and marriage and you belong. "Go get a new pair of shoes. This boy's night tackies had worn out. Bring a new pair of shoes for him. Servants went barefoot, but this is my boy. He belongs in the home. Put shoes on his feet." The story's not over yet. "Bring the fatted calf. Let's celebrate. For this my son, not my servant, my son." The younger boy just wants to be treated as a servant. He wants his past to determine his future. No, this is my son who was dead and is alive, was lost and is found. And then there's the older boy who's a bit Dick Becky's. Just not happy. He's kept all the rules. Hasn't put a foot out of place. But in his goodness, he's become hard. In his goodness, he has become jealous, become judgmental, become joyless. He cannot share his father's joy. And then that wonderful, wonderful sentence, the father goes out to the elder brother to ask him to come in. Now Jesus is saying, this is what God is like. This is what God is like. And some of you are saying, "Trevor, this is just a story. It's just a story." No, behind this story is Jesus' life. Jesus lived this story. He died this story. He backed it up with his whole life. They say that if you go to Paris, I haven't been there, but you go to Notre Dame Cathedral and you go inside and there's two statues on either side of the altar. And on the one side of the altar, there is a statue of the father holding the returning younger son. That is the picture, that is the story that Jesus told. And on the other side, there is a statue of Mary holding the crucified figure of Jesus being taken off the cross. That is the story that Jesus lived. And the story that Jesus lived tells us that the story that he told about the Father is true. This is the gospel, that at the heart of this universe there is a God who has created us to live freely, freely. A God who recognizes each one of us, who knows us by name, who loves us with a love that will never ever let us go. A love that whose hands and arms are open, who runs down the road to meet us, who kisses us when we come home. This is the God that we worship, and this is the radical, radical love that God has for every human being. And we see that love on the cross in Jesus Christ as he pours his life out for the world. What's your picture of God like? What's your picture of God like? As we move to an end, I want to extend two invitations. Just two invitations. And my first invitation, who do you identify with in the story today? Who do you identify with? Maybe you identify with the younger boy, the younger child. You've broken the rules. You've been rebellious. You've abused your freedom. You've caused God heartbreak. You've hurt loved ones. You've been in the distant country. You've hit rock bottom again and again and again. Maybe you feel you're the younger boy. Maybe some of you feel like you're the older brother. You're the guy, you've kept the rules, you've ticked all the boxes, you've been as good as you can. But somehow, things have got heavy and you've become judgmental and jealous and joyless. I meet many, many Christian people who've become judgmental and jealous and joyless. Maybe you like the older brother. Maybe some of you are saying, Trevor, I'm not as bad as that younger guy and I'm not as good as the older guy. So let's create a new character just for a moment. A mixture of both. Let's call him the semi-prodigal. Not as good, not as bad, but lukewarm. Huh? You don't drop all your standards. You just drop them when no one's looking. You don't leave home totally. You come home now and then, especially on Sundays, just to get the washing cleaned. Semi-prodigal. Foot in both worlds. Foot in both worlds. Who are you in the story today? The younger one? The older one? Or a mixture of both? Who are you? Second invitation. Can I invite you to come home? Can I invite you to come home today? Whether you're a younger boy, the older boy, semi-prodigal, can I invite you to come home? Can I invite you to put on that robe of acceptance and know that you're accepted and that you belong at home? Can I invite you to put on that ring, put on the shoes that say that you're not a servant, you're a son, you're a daughter, you're beloved? Can I invite you to sing in your heart that great hymn, just as I am, without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. And you might say to me, Trevor, I've got to clean up my life first. No, come as you are. The bath comes later. The bath comes later. Come home. Come home in all the mess and the muck and the muddle. Come home. There is a love that wants to receive you and welcome you and change you and make you into a new man and a new woman. And when we come home, we come home. We become the person that God wants us to be. When I come home, I can face my life as it is. I don't have to be scared of it. I don't have to pretend. When I come home, I find my meaning, my purpose. This is what I'm made for. Come home. Just come home. It changes everything. It changes everything. Some months ago, I came across some words written by Pedro Arupi. And I included them in a book that I wrote. And I want to read them to you today. They're very simple. I hope that God will speak to you through them today. Nothing is more practical than coming home, than finding God, than falling in love with God in an absolute kind of way. What you are in love with seizes your heart, seizes your imagination, and affects everything in your life. It will decide what will get you out of bed in the morning, what you do with your evenings, how you spend your weekends, what you read, who you know, what breaks your heart, and what amazes you with joy and gratitude. Fall in love with God. Stay in love with God. And it changes everything. And so that's my invitation, my own life message to you. fall in love today with the God who has fallen in love with you. Let's pray together. Dear God, we talk about deep things. Our lives, we talk about you. God, will you speak to us today through this simple, simple story that your Son told about you? Sometimes it almost feels too good to be true. But this is who you are. Help us to come home today in the midst of our mess and muddle and muck. Help us to put on that robe and that ring, those shoes. Help us to live as your beloved sons and daughters. Help us to come home today and every day. This is our prayer, and we offer it to you, dear Father, dear Father, dear Father, with all the love and all the longing of our hearts, and all of God's people said together, Amen. May the joy of Jesus be with you. Amen. God bless you, friends.